Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. As the announcer said, I'm Michael Pappas, your host. We've all heard the saying, work on your business, not in it. But what does that really convey? It means investing time and energy into building a business model and strategy, not just completing day-to-day tasks. After all, a successful enterprise needs both short-term goals, which means hitting sales targets, and long-term objectives, which means developing new products, services, or exploring new markets. But this is particularly challenging for small business owners to accommodate. Without sprawling administrative teams, these leaders often have no choice but to put out fires and focus on the immediate rather than the important. With limited resources, escaping day-to-day tasks and taking more strategic views can be almost impossible. There is often no one else to take on the immediate tasks. With me today to discuss this topic and give you some pointers on how you can work on your business rather than in your business is Evelyn Rogers. Evelyn is a SCORE mentor and a former business owner. Well, welcome to SCORE Business Points, Evelyn.
Thank you, Michael. Pleasure to be here.
Before we get started, please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your business background.
Sure. Thank you. So I owned a catering company in New York, and it was both an on- and off-premises catering company. And that's kind of defined by where the food is consumed. So we had banquet halls where people would come to us, but we also went to people's homes and businesses, corporate events and things like that, so that we took the food to you as well. So that gave us a lot of different opportunities to produce our food, sell our food, and also a lot of staff management.
All right, so let's get started. I've come up with a few questions that I think owners should ask themselves to determine how they're doing. So let me tell you what they are, and then we can discuss each one.
Okay.
First, number one, are you able to maintain a healthy work-life balance, or do you find yourself constantly working long hours and neglecting personal life and self-care? Two, are you in control of where your business is headed, or are you reacting to situations as they arise? Three, is your business profitable and financially stable? Are you managing your finances effectively, or are you constantly dealing with cash flow issues? Four, do you have systems and processes in place to streamline operations, or are you constantly firefighting and putting out fires, or do you have different processes that run smoothly? Five, do you have a strong support network or advisory team? Are you seeking advice and input from others, or do you try to handle everything on your own? Six, are you able to take vacations or breaks without major disruptions to your business? In other words, can you step away from your business when needed, or does it require your constant presence? And seven, are you satisfied with your current role and responsibilities in the business? Are you doing the work you enjoy and excel at it, or are you bogged down by tasks you dislike? And eight, is your business scalable? Can your business grow without significantly increasing your personal workload, or does it plateau when you're stretched thin? And nine, are you maintaining a positive company culture and employee satisfaction? Are your employees engaged and motivated, or do they feel business is causing burnout? And number 10, are you enjoying the journey of entrepreneurship? Are you passionate and fulfilled by your work, or does it feel like a burden? Okay, those are all the questions. So, question number one, a healthy work-life balance. How does a business owner maintain one?
So I'm going to answer this question as if I was speaking to someone who had a retail store with maybe four or five employees, a florist, a hardware store, a bakery, a cafe, something that size. And as the owner, it is your responsibility to be sure that everything gets done, but that doesn't mean that you have to do everything. So if I were feeling overwhelmed by the day-to-day operations, the first thing I would do is write down my routine, put it right on paper. What are my opening procedures? What are my closing routines? What do I do every single day? I answer the phone. I take care of customers. I solve problems. I order. And then I would go back to, what do I do each day? What do I do on Monday? Payroll and scheduling. Maybe Tuesday I do inventory and ordering. Then I would take a look at all of that and say, who else can do some of this? Is there somebody that I can trust to arrive early and maybe leave later on? Can I give somebody else the codes, the alarm codes and the keys? Can I afford to put one person in an office just to answer the phone, just to take orders, to make the schedule, to calculate payroll, to pay the bills, to make sure I'm getting paid? Do I have to do all of that, or can somebody else do that for me? Can I schedule someone to work from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. in case there are people who can only come in my store at night and I don't have to be there every night of the week? I would start very slowly, write down a job description, do one job at a time, create a title, a pay scale, responsibilities, and be very clear. Am I giving a current employee new tasks? Am I compensating them for that? Or am I adding more to their workload, and am I being reasonable about that? Put yourself on a schedule. Start working really hard at leaving work at the end of the day, even if it's only a few days a week to start. Make yourself say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm leaving at 5 o'clock. I can come back on the next day and I can start all over again. I know it's not possible for every business. I know that the florist can't leave the company on a Friday night in June because it's just too much to do. But if you start somewhere, if you start small, these are all attainable goals and you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the next is being in control of your business. How do you accomplish something like that?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well, if you're to be in control of your business, sometimes your business controls you. How do you be in control of your own business?
So, is this kind of the question too? Am I steering the ship here? Am I to have a clear vision?
What kind of?
Okay. So you're the decision maker. You're the ultimate decision maker. So when you want to put somebody else in a job that you don't want to do, or, you know, that you feel that you can put somebody else in, it shouldn't be a job that requires a final decision maker. You should be the one who's in charge of how much money you're spending on your marketing budget. You should be the one deciding what is the quality of the inventory that we're going to sell. You're the one who's kind of developing the culture of the company and what you're selling and how you treat your customers. So in my opinion and my experience, I control that by kind of like, this is how we do it here. I enjoyed other people's experience. I like hiring experienced people, but they can't all bring their experiences to my table. This is how we do it here. So that was, for me, was how I controlled how the business ran.
Okay. Well, all right, managing business finances. What's the best way to do this without constantly worrying about having enough money to run your business effectively?
So that is a really interesting question, especially in Southeast New Jersey. So many of the businesses down here are seasonal. And not only are they seasonal just because we're in a shore vicinity, they're seasonal because of the nature of the business. As far as the catering business, you know, we are much busier in the winter, in the summer months or the spring months than we are in winter. So there are a couple of things that I had to do to keep myself from not going broke, you know, in the slow months. A budget was very, very helpful. I paid myself the same amount every week, whether I made $100,000 that week or $1,000 that week. I paid myself the same amount of money every week. Another great tool for a small business is a line of credit loan. And a line of credit loan will help you. Maybe you want to buy new equipment, something breaks down, but you know, it's just not the time of year where you're flush with cash. A line of credit loan will help you get through over that hurdle as long as you can afford to pay that back when things get busy again. It's not something you want dragging on for years. You want to be able to pay that back. And if you find yourself at a point where you're just making ends meet and you really can't pay that back, maybe it's a good time to take a look at your pricing structure and making sure that with the cost of everything having gone up, especially in the past few years, making sure that your pricing strategies really are on target.
Well, one of the things that I've read, and no matter how many different businesses you're talking about, and I've read about it going and researching for the show. One of the ways of keeping your business going right is putting systems in place. So how would a business owner accomplish this? Like, how did you do it?
So I actually came up with the phrase, systems are my solutions. And we were very, very busy and we grew faster than, you know, it wasn't a thought out process. We were handed an opportunity, and it was either jump in and take it or don't. And we jumped in and took it. So we were hiring a whole bunch of staff. We were hiring, you know, kitchen staff, office staff, wait staff, all of that. And it was chaos in the beginning. It really truly was. So I honestly, I had to sit down with the staff and say to them, okay, I'm putting you in charge of this event. Tell me how this is going to work for you. And in the room were all parties involved. The kitchen was involved. The wait staff was involved. The porters were involved. The office was involved. So that one person might come up with an easy way to do things, but how is that affecting the cog of the wheel? How is that affecting the rest of them? So piece by piece, and it was not an easy process, but it was well worth it in the end. Piece by piece, we came up with a standard operating plan for every job, mm-hmm. from the dishwashers to the office staff. You know, this is how we book a party. This is the information that the kitchen needs to get when you send it to them. The kitchen needed to be able to relay that to the wait staff. This is the food that you're getting. So for us, it was, this is our system. Every person knew when they walked into that banquet hall, they knew how to set up the room. When we went to an offsite job, they knew, they were like a team of ninjas. They knew where to go first. They knew that needed to be done, and they knew what needed to be done before they could go home. But everything had to be, and train and training and training. You can't just let new people walk in the door and expect that they know what you want.
Well, let me ask you a question. In a catering business, mainly it's a lot of manual processing systems. Did you have any sort of automated systems?
Yes. We have catering-specific software. So we had to put in the information, but we had particular party packages. For example, you know, a Sweet 16 where you could have, you know, we titled them different things. Our weddings were the diamond package, the platinum package, where they had different titles, and built into the software system, you just click the button and the menu would come up for you. The brunch menu would just come up for you. So all the office staff had to do was, you know, click that button, the number of people. And if somebody wanted to tweak it, they wanted to change it, they had to, ability to adapt it and make changes. But yes, we did have software in place.
Okay. All right. Then there's the strong support system. Now, I was in the consulting business when I did have my business, and this was something that was really necessary for my business, especially when I came across about a client and they asked a question and I didn't immediately have the answer in front of me because a lot of such is research. I always had a strong support system. I had people I could go to. I could give them a call and ask them a question. And also, they could give them a call if I was having problems with my business in the consulting business. I would ask. I know how I created mine. I assume you had one too. So how would you go about creating that kind of a system?
I think that's such an excellent point. You really don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you have a problem and solve the solution yourself. If you don't have, right now today, you don't have people that you feel like, you know, you don't have people within your industry or trade that you can go to. Look in your community for a business that you respect the way they operate. You respect the way the place looks, the uniforms on the staff, whatever it is that impresses you. And I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, that store owner would be very happy to speak to you and help you help yourself, because we've all been there. Like I said, you know, like I got into a point where I was in over my head. And I went to other caterers who were more than happy to share their information with me and help me organize myself. I was part of other groups. I was part of the Chamber of Commerce. I was part of the Restaurant Association, even though I didn't own a restaurant. But they helped me. They helped me with things like, you know, keeping up to date, you know, with compliance issues that were changing on a regular basis, or just how to run a business, how to be a manager, how to organize yourself. Networking is a key to being a successful business owner.
Now, everyone needs to get away from the day-to-day grind. That's why big businesses require their employees to take vacations. That's also true for small business owners. But for some reason, they don't want to go. Why or what should they do in order to be able to take a vacation on a regular basis?
So the first thing I want to point out is we're not just talking about vacations. Sometimes you have to go to funerals.
Okay.
Sometimes you get sick. Sometimes your family members get sick. Sometimes you just need a day off, and it's not always to go to Atlantic City or for a golf outing. So you should have yourself very prepared to take a day off when you need to on the fly. But to get yourself in that position, again, starting slowly, look around to the people who work with you and say, okay, 2 weeks from now, I'm taking off Tuesday and Wednesday. And when you do that, you be very specific on who's in charge in my. And everyone should know that. And then you make sure that the person who is in charge, they know. They know how you open. They know how you close. They know the emergency procedures. If there is a fire, if somebody gets sick, blah, blah, blah. They know how to do that. And the next thing I would do over the next couple of weeks while you're gearing yourself to take the day, you're making yourself take those days off. Staff member comes to you with a question and you stop for a minute and you say, What would you do if I wasn't here? And then that gives you a good opportunity to make sure that the person you're leaving in charge also knows what to do in case you're not there.
Work is a drudgery. Sometimes the way to do it is you don't like doing drudgery, so delegate. Now, many small business owners, and I didn't have any employees, so I had to do it all anyway, but many small business owners who have employees are very hesitant to delegate. So how can they accomplish this without increasing somebody's workload?
So there was a book I read somewhere down the line called The E-Myth, and E stands for entrepreneurship. And it was a little bit of a hokey book, but it gave the story of a girl, I think her name was Sarah, who opened a bakery. And for me, the key was she found herself dragging herself at the end of the day, sweeping the floor, taking out the garbage, doing all of those things that those things will knock you out, and getting up the next morning and doing all the producing, the production and the sales and everything. So if you want to grow, if you're very happy and you don't need your overhead, expenses are not going up and you can afford to just keep it at status quo, that's okay. But if you want your business to grow, if you want to be able to take a day off once in a while, you have to find a way to delegate. And even I have clients through SCORE. They want to open a restaurant, and I say to them, you need to write job descriptions. Someone has to clean the bathrooms. Someone has to take out the garbage. Mm-hmm. That has to be written down, and they know that that's part of their job. It doesn't matter who it is, but someone has to know that that's part of their job. So you're taking on a leadership role here. This is part of leadership, to delegate and to give responsibility. But train people. They're not mind readers. And just because they did it one way someplace else doesn't mean that you want them doing it that way at your place. So job description, training, and then follow up and make sure it's being done.
Okay. Well, next, the one we have is scalability. It's the dream of many small business owners to have their businesses grow. Not all of them, but many of them. So how can they accomplish this without increasing their workload?
Well, first of all, before you go into a plan of scaling your business and making it busier, is it really a demand for that? Are you really turning away customers? Are you at an explosion point where you can't take on any more clients? But you need to do what I like to call an operations audit. You're bringing on new clients. Who's going to be doing that work? How are you affecting the staff that you already have? Can they actually do? Do you have to hire and train new staff to meet the new demands? Or can your current team handle the increased workload? Can you afford the expansion? Sometimes more work means more labor and materials. Do you have the cash flow to purchase what you need and take on more customers? Are you overworking the equipment you have? Do you have equipment that maybe you bought used and now you're going to ramp up production and this poor thing is going to, peter out on you in the middle of a busy shift? Make sure that things are in place before you go ahead and make that expansion. And also, one thing that I think people should be very careful about, when you change the number of employees you have, when you change the scope of business, sometimes you're changing. Maybe you're not qualified as a small business anymore if you go over 50 employees. Maybe now you have to start putting into their retirement plan. Maybe you've been working out of your home, but now you have 18 wheelers driving down the street delivering. You're going to get complaints from your neighborhood. Or maybe you're increasing the size of your dumpster that's going to, be causing complaints in your neighborhood. So the most important thing is to be prepared and make sure you have the proper licenses, have the proper permits to expand. Can you afford to expand? And who's going to do the work for you? Do not plan to expand and do everything yourself. You're not helping yourself. Who's going to help you do the work?
At the heart of every business is its employees. And you want a positive company culture and you want employee satisfaction. So how would a business owner create such a positive company culture?
Again, going back to, you're the boss. You are the leader. Simple codes of conduct. Always a good idea. Inappropriate language and behavior in the workplace is simply not permitted. But do the employees feel like their ideas and complaints are listened to? If you have a large turnover rate with your staff, then you know that they're not happy and you're not keeping them happy. Good help is hard to find. So when you find people who are responsible, who come in on time, who look good, who do the job, pleasant with their customers, you make sure that they're happy. You make sure that they know that they're appreciated. Now, again, you're the leader. You know how you want things to go in your company, but that doesn't mean you shut yourself down to other people's ideas. It doesn't mean that, the chef can't come up with a new way of putting things together, or a new florist can't come in with some new trendier, younger, fresher ideas of the way to make things look. Keep yourself open-minded. Be responsive to their ideas. And if you have to say no, that's not going to work for us, give them a clear-cut reason. No, don't just shut them down and say, no, we don't do that here. Mm-hmm. Give them a good reason for it.
Okay. Now, lastly, there's how you, the owner, feels. So what should the owner do if they feel that they're not being fulfilled with what they're doing?
Honestly, Mike, I can't imagine being a business owner and not loving going to work every day. And I think that the day that you wake up and you say, I really don't want to go to work today. I mean, not just a cold or the flu, or I wish I could go golfing instead. I mean, this is a drudgery. I just don't want to do this anymore. First, go back to basics. Take a good hard look at, you know, can I bring more people in and make this more enjoyable for me, that I can do the things that I like to do? If your business is involving around a craft or an artistic endeavor, can I get somebody else to make it so I'm doing the things that I love? And if it's not possible, if it's not doable, then you shouldn't be the boss. You should maybe be, there's no shame in being a really, really good employee for somebody else, someplace else. But if you don't wake up every day and really want to get there and do the best you can, I can't imagine doing that.
There you have it, listeners. What Evelyn has pointed out will help you in working on your business rather than in it. Overall, the key to success for owner-managed businesses is finding ways to free up time. You need to free up time so that you can focus on what will make the most significant difference to your long-term success. By gaining control of administrative tasks and making time each week or month to plan strategically, leaders can create a greater capacity for growth and success. Technology can help with this process and make it easier to stay organized and on track towards long-term business goals. As a business owner, it's not easy to keep your hands off what's happening with the company every day. After all, you are the one who cares the most about the success of the business. But in the long run, dedicating time to working on your business instead of in it will lead you to a more fulfilling, profitable, and enjoyable business and life. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Gore Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank my guest, Evelyn Rogers, for taking time out of her busy day to be with us. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then. For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj.
That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. Score Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of Score and 91.9 WBNJ.